There's a fascinating pasuk toward the end of Parshat Achrimot. Pasuk tells us, "You shall observe my decrees and my laws, which a man shall carry out, and by which he shall live. I am Hashem." Very famous drasha of the Gemara, "V'chai b'hem, and which he shall live." The Gemara learns from here, "V'chai b'hem, v'lo she'amut b'hem." Source number two, the sages derive from the expression, "by which he shall live," that the commandments were given for the sake of life, not death. Therefore, if the performance of a commandment may endanger life, like a classic case of being mechallel Shabbos to save somebody's life, you're allowed to do it, with the exception, obviously, of the three cardinal sins, idolatry, forbidden sexual relationships, and murder. V'chai b'hem, you should live by them. Torah is meant for us to live and not for us to die. I'd like to focus in on one question, which is Rashi. Musilf B'Vavam brings down Rashi. Rashi says, V'chai b'hem, lo lam haba. V'chai b'hem refers to in the future world. She'im tamar ba'lam hazeh, if you're going to say to me in this world, v'lo sofo hu meit, we all, you know, have a limited time in this world. And likewise, you have in Targum Onkelos, di'im yavid yason anasha, yachyom b'hom mechai alma, that we're talking about that a person should live in the future world. U'bashkafari shana, at first glance, shnei perushim so dreams adzeh. The idea of what Chazal say, that you should live, means that you should be able to live in this world. V'chai b'hem. Life is about making sure that you have life down here. And Rashi seems to say that the pasuk is a reference to the future world, that you get reward in the world to come. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, well, what does v'chai b'hem refer to? Does it refer to that you should live in this world? Or does it refer to primarily or exclusively the next world? Which is the real indication of what v'chai b'hem is about? And that is our question to try to understand. Again, we've spoken about this idea a number of years ago. We'll take one or two of the same ideas we mentioned there. The structure, however, will be different. The concepts will be different. And there's a lot to learn here today. So clearly, as Rav Asher Weiss on the Parsha points out in source number 4, the Ramban writes that there are many different forms of existence, all of which we can loosely be defined as life. Plants and animals can be said to live, in a sense, just as mankind does. However, we know the life of Torah, to which this pasuk refers, can be experienced to the extent that man prepares himself to absorb the Torah's full influence. A Jew is considered alive to the fullest sense of the world only when he keeps the 613 mitzvot. So clearly what we're talking about here as an introduction is, we're talking about v'chaye olam atabetochenu. We're talking about to live means a life of Torah, not just to live, it's to breathe and to exist. I'd like to try to understand, how do we reconcile the Gemara? Chazal would say that living is about being able to physically live in this world. You don't want to cut your life short, right? At the expense of a mitzvah, we override the mitzvah in order to live. So the focus is that on this world. And how do we reconcile that with Rashi, where the focus seems to be the world to come? I'd like to try to look at three approaches to be able to respond to this contradiction, to reconcile them. And clearly the focus will be on how to improve our own avodas Hashem, our own lives. Source idea level one, let's preface it with an idea we've seen many times, Rabbi Tatz's World Mask. There's an idea of schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. There's no reward for mitzvah in this world. Mitzvahs are performed here, but the reward is reserved for the next world. This world is finite. It bears finite action. The next world is infinite and expresses results of this worldly actions in infinite terms. A mitzvah here is paid out an equivalent value there, and that equivalency is infinity. It's remarkable that almost all the mitzvahs consist of physical actions. Only very few are performed by thought or attitude alone. This means that the mitzvahs function by performance of physical actions which activate effects in the spiritual realm. The action takes place here. The result occurs there. There is no reward here because reward for a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. The reward consists of the effect brought about by that mitzvah which is experienced by the neshama in the next world, the change, the growth. Let's try this a little more deeply. He says, when a body is engaged in performing a mitzvah, the mind should be focused appropriately. We do it down here. We're physically involved in shaking the lulav and esrog and lighting the Shabbos candles, while the mind transcends the physical. That's what we call kavana. And it brings it into a spiritual act. It brings it into a divine act. So yes, the candles are lit down here. But the bracha, the mindset with the candles, then elevates that act into a spiritual act. Then the physical action is elevated to the level of spirit. And the bond between the material and the spiritual have been formed. If, however, the intention is not transcended at all, then the mitzvah lives in this world only. It's almost like a balloon, a helium balloon, that you have to put the helium in it in order for it to rise. If you just have those plastic balloons that you buy in the candy store without putting the helium in it, so it's going to remain an unformed balloon that's going to remain down here. The rule in the spiritual world is that all things must be pain in kind. A purely physical action can have only physical results. An action propelled into transcendence by that component of the human which is in fact transcended, the mind, can live in the higher world. And that's why the kavana is so important. Now obviously, he continues the end of 6 and 7, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a reward for every single person. The Holy One, blessed be He, Masil Sharm, teaches us, does not withhold the reward of any creature. And obviously, to the extent that we're able to invest, to that extent, the mitzvah reaches higher levels of transcendence, and one can get rewarded. Conversely, even one mitzvah, if performed truly l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, has the potential to guarantee eternal existence in the next world for the one who performs it. Mitzvahs are done here, but they must be invested in the next world. If a person wants real life in the world to come, his life here must be directed, dedicated towards that world. Good. So that's an idea we're familiar with, an idea we know. We act down here, and the results, the reward, comes in the world to come. However, my friends, it really goes one step deeper. And this brings us to the idea of the Nesiva Shalom, which again we've seen before. And it's a Nesiva Shalom that we could see over and over again because it needs to be prominent in our mindset. And he says, the Yesh Lomar, he brings down Chazal and Rashi, raises our questions, source number 8, the Slum and the Rebbe. And he notes in the arrow, the Yesh Lomar, Debe'emet Shnei Perushim Elu Ve'elu Divrelukim Chaim V'nyanem Achad. Really? They're not contradicting each other, they're really complementing each other. How so? Shevachai behem kolel b'mashmuto ben advarim. Vachai behem, to live by them, really encompasses both aspects, this world and olam haba, the next world. Shereshit inyan vachai behem hainu b'kima mitzvot shekaimu b'chius. The first understanding of vachai behem is how we keep mitzvot in this world. Vachai behem is very much rooted in the world of here and now, in this world. However, Vachai Bahem teaches us, Shekol mitzvah shiudi mekayim yikaimuha biflavus v'chiyus kol agufei varim. That when we do a mitzvah, it has to be done, not with rote, but with enthusiasm, with passion. Kol atzmosai tomarna, Hashem yikamocha. That bechina of my entire being comes to praise Hashem. This is about, sheyet tariq yudi lashkiya komalto v'chayuto b'kiyuma. Vachai Bahem v'zol shemut bahem. That our mitzvahs have to be done with excitement, with passion, with the entirety of our being. The inyan zeh nine hu gam ha-shorosh v'makor shevachai behem olam haba, here's the chiddush. The way we keep mitzvahs in this world impacts the way the mitzvahs are going to be in the next world. And it brings an idea from the Rav of Karlin's Chutoy Galinu. Sheshama ki echrizu b'shamay, he heard that it's pronounced in heaven. Let's take a Jew, for example, who keeps all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, right? He's careful about Barer, he's careful about all the aspects of Shabbos. However, he doesn't feel any pleasure in Shabbos. In the bracket of 9. Of course, when he gets a Gan Eden, he's going to get rewarded for keeping Shabbos.
It's going to be like a bench just sitting there. Shigam sham lo yarkish klum, and there he will experience no pleasure.
What does it mean, the reward in Gan Eden? What does it mean, v'chai v'hem in Gan Eden? It's where the tzaddikim are sitting with the crowns on their head and their nani mitziv hashchina. They are enjoying the presence of Hashem. Where does that enjoyment of the presence of the closeness of Hashem come from?
Nimshach ma'atayinu g'vachiyu sheyesh ludi b'kima mitzvot b'olam hazeh. That's the helium balloon that you put down here, that the effects go in Shemayim. The way the Masilth Bavavim notes in source number 11, the mashal he gives in the bracket would be like, lo aleinu, a blind person looking into a museum that has beautiful aspects to it, beautiful displays. He can't enjoy it. Likewise, a person can get to Gan Eden, and he'll be sitting in Gan Eden, but he'll be sitting there lifeless on the bench, not enjoying anything. V'chai b'hem down here, our chiyus down here, our life force down here impacts where Rashi says, v'chai b'hem l'olam haba, haynu hach. The way we behave down here in our islavas and our passion for mitzvot, that's what impacts the effect of reward in the next world. And therefore we see v'reisha b'nepe rishim in amso dream. In the double bracket in 9, they're not contradicting each other. V'haba hatalia, one is contingent on the other. Aidei v'chaybe and b'kima mitzvot b'olam hazeh. How we do mitzvot in this world. We're zochel l'chay olam haba. And that's why it says, v'shvarte v'chukotai. The pasuk even talks about chukim. I have to do chukim laws that I don't understand with simcha. I don't understand it. It's hard to have simcha. Correct. You may not have simcha in doing the mitzvah itself, like kibud av v'aim. You love your parents. You want to do anything for them. The chai b'hem is about that even by a chok, I am happy to be able to do the Ritzon Hashem. As we've quoted very often from the Divrei Shmuel and the arrow in source 10. Sa'al avarina l'secher machuso, just us, kruzei chomer. Man of flesh and blood, that we can mention Hashem's name, that we can say Asher Kedishanu, that we can do a mitzvah. Sa'al avarina l'secher machuso, it should fill us with joy. It should fill us with tremendous good feeling. And that, my friends, is what the Be'er Moshe, the Asher of a Rebbe, Zatzal, points out in 12. Da ki kishoseh da mitzvah chayav yilosota b'shleimus hakavano b'pnim yisalei. Mitzvahs have to be done with fullness of the mitzvah, with the pnimios halev, the inner part of our heart. That's what it's about. Nimsan the arrow shayde shimachavim b'libo, mitorer haratzon b'chol v'rei aguf b'pchinat kol tzvosai tamarna. When you have desire to do a mitzvah, you are able to engage the entirety of your body. You're excited. You're enthused. You're impassioned about the mitzvah. The entirety of your being is found in this mitzvah. And this, he says, in 13, V'ke'ei navineta pasuk shel faneinu, when it says, Yaseh ad otam ha'adam, chayav liyot b'shleimus achiyus v'islavus, v'chay b'hem, haynu shekol everav yu mishubadim l'chanut ha'mitzvah, l'kavanat ha'mitzvah. Our entire being should be focused on doing this mitzvah. And he quotes here a gewaltig piece, a very famous Gemara Yerushalmi. The Gemara in 13 in the arrow says, Lulav hayovesh pasul. If you take out a dried out lulav, right? You know, people look at lulavim to make sure that they're fresh, right? Imagine you come to the market and, you know, ach, I'll just take any lulav. And you pick up a lulav and it's as dried out as you can imagine. Ah, it doesn't matter. I'll just, it's a lulav. Does it have to be green so it's brown? What's the big deal? No, it's pasul. Doesn't work. My time, the Gemara and Rishami asks, what's the reason why lulav hayovesh pasul? Because the pasuk in Tehillim by the Hallel says, "Lo hametim yaluka," the dead shouldn't praise God. So the obvious question is, well, hold on a second. Does the lulav praise God? No, right? It's that you learn from that the dead don't praise God. So you can't have a dead lulav because it can't praise Hashem. Well, hold on a second. The lulav isn't the one praising Hashem. It's the person who's praising Hashem. So why are you using that pasuk as a support that you can't use a pasul lulav? So he explains in 14, listen closely. Omnam remesh yesh baseh. There is, however, a hint to this. L'mashikatavnu shasiyas ha-mitzvos. A-mitzvah chayevet liyot b'shlemus ha-chiyus v'lo b'krivus v'chosri lavus. This is teaching us how mitzvos have to be done with this passion. L'lufichach, therefore, lo rak hanot lo tzarich laro b'maisav chiyus v'chlavus. Therefore, not only the person who does the mitzvah has to be done with passion, el shegam chefet ha-mitzvah atzmo tzarich l'rmos alkah. Even the items that we take have to be a reflection, a symbolic of this fact. When one takes a lulav that's dried out, That's just like a reflection of where you're holding. You don't care. You're dried out. And indeed, lo amitim yaluka, a dead person can't praise God. Yes, when we're talking about this passion and enthusiasm, it's not just the person doing it. It's about the entire being and all the accessories that have to do with the person. You light the nicest candles, candlesticks, and you light with olive oil or whatever. You use the best candles, the longest, whatever it is, because all of that is part of what we call the Hiddur Mitzvah, the beautification of the Mitzvah, which reflects you. When you stand by beautiful candlesticks, you feel impassioned. When you stand by beautiful Kiddush cup, by beautiful challahs you make, whatever it is, your bracha is different, the Mitzvah becomes different. Isn't it not interesting that he points out on the double underline of 14 that the words lulav are, that we learn this idea from, are really composite of two words, lo lev. To him is a heart. That's what it's about. It's about that we have the heart. And it's not by accident that the gematria, the numerical value of lulav, is chayim, life. Because this idea, which is a binyanav, it's a paradigm for all mitzvot. It's the idea of infusing that which we do with passion and with enthusiasm. Which brings us to the Masils Bavavam, who says, this is the idea in Source 16, Ki Hashem chafeif b'maisim tosasim hamaleim chiyus shel adam chai v'kayim. Hashem wants us to have mitzvos with that passion and enthusiasm. Oh, I gotta do this mitzvah. No! Wow, I could say a bracha shahaka, unbelievable opportunity, salav arinal zechem achusa. I'm so excited to be able to say this bracha, I'm not even sure I can contain myself because, wow, what an opportunity. That's how we have to say brachos. That's how we have to look at mitzvos. V'chai b'hem. We have to live by them. Chai v'kayim v'lo ma'asim chesrei chiyus me'elu shvachayim kurim ma'asim lo chayus to kedusha without any aspect of holiness. And he describes that this aspect of infusing our mitzvos with life force is very similar to what is said about the angels in the vision of Yecheskel, the Ma'asim Merkava, Cheskel Aleph Yudalad, v'chayos rotzo v'shov, and the chayos, the heavenly beings, are rotzo v'shov. They run and they return. It's like a back and forth, a yo-yo motion. Hadam machnis chiyos v'pulos ha-mitzvah. We, one, invest our life force in doing a mitzvah. V'gam mekabel chiyos v'mitzvah. That's the rotzo. That's the infusion. And then you should know, v'shov, it goes back to you. It enables you. When you do a mitzvah with chiyus, it's going to affect you. It's going to impact you. And as we spoke about, it's going to impact you in this world as well in the next world. That's the chiyus. That's the life force that you will get in the next world. And that explains in 17 the idea of the schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is the reward. As the Arvei Nachal points out, he says, the tanuk shemargish nefesh ha-yisraeli, the pleasure, that good feeling that a person feels when they do a Torah and mitzvot, hu atzmol nitzchios, that's eternal. Ha-nefesh v'ashrotav nimutav tanugeh ba'olam haba. That is going to be yours forever in the next world. So that infusion of good feeling impacts you here, and it is something that schar mitzvah mitzvah, that is the reward. The reward, as we saw in the Nesiva Shalom, is that amount of chiyus, that amount of life force, is what's going to fuel you. It's what you're going to live on in the next world. You want to know what your Olam Haba looks like. You want to know how much you're going to feel connected, kivyachol, to Ribono Shel Olam, that you'll be na'aneh miziv hashchina, that you'll enjoy the presence, kivyachol, of Hashem. You'll be able to figure it out very clearly. Ask yourself, how much of the mitzvot do you enjoy down here? How much do you feeling of chiyos, of passion, of enthusiasm do you have in your brachos, in your Shabbos, in your davening? That will be an indication of where you're holding in the next world. And that's the tzivui here, just to summarize this, of the chai behem, lachnis chiyos, lekabel chiyos, basiyos ha-mitzvah, by having chiyus down here, that's to ensure life force chiyus in the next world. Then Rav Eisenberg Rosh Shlita in 18a asks the obvious question. It's a question I'm sure all of you have been thinking. That's very nice, fine and dandy. But you know what, my friends? I like Shabbos. And I think Shabbos is great. And I like brachos. I think Hashem is wonderful. But I don't look around excited. Wow! Opportunity to do a mitzvah! Gee! Enthusiasm, passion! How do we reach this? How do we access this, my friends? And he says, Madua monami tenor gashara chiyos vani mushal toros Hashem timima mishivas nafesh begude Hashem yishar b'sam kilev. How come we're involved in Torah mitzvahs all day? And the Torah promises us a life of spirituality, a life of passion. I don't feel it. I'm not connected. So he describes what he thinks is the issue here. And he analyzes it. And let's analyze it together because I think it's very relevant for all of our lives. Double squiggly in 18a. Ikar ha'vdel ben tanugim gashmiyim l'tanugim ruchaniyim. Why is it that I have pleasure when I eat food and I have pleasure when I do so many different activities? But I don't have this pleasure when I'm involved in spiritual aspects. And he says perhaps one of the major differences is that physical pleasure, he bekalos hashagatam, you can feel that pleasure with ease, without too much effort. And it's immediate pleasure. However, no, that's only immediate pleasure. A few minutes later, you forget that pleasure. Spontaneous. 18b. You eat a cookie. Wow, that tastes so good. Then why do you eat another cookie? If that cookie tasted so good, shouldn't that pleasure last you for a while? It doesn't. So you eat another cookie, right? You know, like Lay's potato chips, it just doesn't stop at one. That's our problem. We just keep on eating because the physical pleasure is here and now, but it's short term. It's only for the here and now. You immediately feel it. However, we know people, and you see this so often at simchas, where a person will eat at a smorgasbord, and you know they're eating. In the times that we had smorgasbord before Corona, maybe some of you remember, and you're eating something, you're standing by someone who's eating something, and they say to you, "I know this is really not good for me to eat. I know I'm going to suffer from this," and they're stuffing their mouth eating it. And they tell you at the same time, as they're putting the food into their mouth, this is really not good for me. My stomach is really going to remind me about that I shouldn't have done this. But they're eating it. How come? Because the immediate pleasure is so powerful that it overcomes anything else. Behefech misen 19. This is not true with spiritual things. Torah v'tfilo mitzvos. Torah, learning, davening. Shena tanuk bahem urgash miyad. You don't feel the immediate pleasure. Aval achar haseg nimshecha na'al orach zman. When you work at it, and you work at your tefillah, and you work at, even if it's one tefillah, that this tefillah, you're really going to focus it on Ava Rabba, and that tefillah you're going to say slowly, or one of the Birkos HaShachar, you're going to say it slowly. That feeling, that good feeling, just doesn't last in Ava Rabba. It stays with you during the day. That, I remember that Ava Rabba this morning. And it gives you that impetus to move on. And that's where the fight of the inclinations happen. The Yetzirah says, you know what, it's not worth investing. I can give you immediate pleasure. Go for the immediate pleasure. And the Yetzer Tov says, you know what, I also have pleasure, but it's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. And you look at it and you say, you want me to sit in front of this Rashi and struggle over it, or this thing, this Talmud, and you'll tell me after a few hours, months, years, I'm going to feel pleasure? No, thank you. I'd rather eat the food that's going to suffer later than this Talmud, because it's not immediate. And we definitely in our generation, when everything's at a press of a button, you know, all the good hormones that go in your head from, you know, texting and all this, everything's at the push of a button, all this pleasure. Why should I, how can I? It's so hard to invest in other things. And that's why he says in 20, that mecharchim, teachers, have such a hard time. Yes, Torah, pesukim, mitvash. Little child begins learning, we put honey on the elephant, that he should put it on its tongue, that it should realize the sweetness. How come he doesn't? Because it takes effort, it takes time, it takes so much cajoling from the teachers. Ke'adam v'asher basav adam, al geshem v'chumrios, and the dad in 20, we are physical, so what impacts us is physical things. The things that the neshama enjoys takes a lot more effort, and the muscle that he gives, and many of us I'm sure have experienced this, is taking an American appliance and using it on European or Israeli currency, right? How many adapters have just blown, how many machines have just flown because you haven't had the right adapter and you haven't put it in the right way. And he says that's really what spirituality is about. It's about finding the right adapter for every person. Spirituality isn't like that immediate pleasure of the cookie in the mouth. Spirituality is every person has to be able to work through mashalibo chafetz, what you enjoy. I remember once a student asked me, many times students ask me, what should we learn? Right, we want to learn something with chavrusa with somebody, what should we learn? So I remember once saying to a girl, you should learn mashalibo chafetz. So she took out a pen. In those days, they used to still write with a pen. Now everything is, you know, on they type, or they take a picture of the board, like whoever copies down from the board. That's so archaic, you know. After class, they just take a picture. I mean, it's so much easier, yeah. So in those days, when she, you know, took a pen out, she wrote, how do you spell Mashalibo Chafetz? Who wrote it? So I said to her, Mashalibo Chafetz is in a book. It's an expression, what your heart desires. You have to learn what you like. You like Musar, learn Musar. You like Hashkafa, learn Hashkafa. You like Halacha, learn Halacha. Chumash, learn Chumash, whatever it is. And when you find something that you like, you have to really tailor make it to you, to what you enjoy. Make it yours. Make it your kinyan. It takes adaptation. It takes time. It takes trial and error. It takes it in order for it to become part of you. And this, my friends, is a challenge. And he says, that's why, in 21, you'll so often have people who will sit at a kumsitz, or you'll have a chazan who will sing. And you'll say, wow, I feel spiritual. Do you really feel spiritual? How long does it last? Is your davening different? Are your brachos after the kumsitz any better? It's almost belying the truth that we think that spirituality can happen like in that minute. A spiritual kumsitz or a good chassid can change me. It may impact you. It may propel you in the right direction. But unless you make it yours, right? The chassidim rishonim used to wait an hour before they daven. Unless you really work on preparation, on thinking about it, on contemplation, it's not going to happen. Those quick fixes, what we call the spiritual quick fixes, don't last. They can't last. Because anything spiritual has to be invested in, has to take time, and it has to take effort. 22. Zeh haklal. Tzarich hachana v'zman lat'im v'lachshir et atzmo. This is the principle. You need preparation, you need time, and you need to be able to tailor make it for you. And you need time to be able to make that transition from the physical world into the spiritual world. For la'ad la'ad, slowly you'll feel la'achzos b'noam Hashem, to feel that world. And it's hard. It's hard because living in the modern age that we're living in the quick fixes. And people don't ain lahem in the Dad in 22, Zman v'savlonos, time and patience, and they want everything right away. V'lo titzlach b'nyanim ruchaniim, this will not help in spiritual matters. My friends, this is level number one. Rashi, l'chay olam haba, Chazal, v'chay behem, doing mitzvos in this world. How do we reconcile them? Very simply. The Siva Shalom. To the extent that you have chiyos, your mitzvos in this world, to that extent you'll have olam haba. To the extent you fill up your helium balloon here, to that extent it's going to fly in shamayim. You don't feel tanuk, you don't feel pleasure down here, you're going to sit on like a bench just watching in the bleachers up in heaven and feel no pleasure. A little scary, isn't it? Okay, it's a lot scary. How do we do this, my friends? It's not a quick fix. It takes time. It takes effort, it takes desire, it takes work, and it takes a realization that it's not happening automatically. It's a lifetime of investment. It's a lifetime of focus. It's a lifetime of finding even small mitzvahs that excite us. Even moments, if we can't even overcome the entirety of our lives, find one mitzvah that excites you. Find one bracha that excites you. Find one tefillah that excites you. Allow yourself to have that moment of inspiration, moments of that closeness. That's level one. This world, in order to have the next world. Let's move away from level number one into level number two. Let's look at this from a different perspective. And again, we'll have three levels in total, Mirz Hashem, the Ol Moshe. We know, the Rav Shiner in Shlita 24, She'en lehem kol metzius l'asa Torah. We don't have any existence without Torah. That's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Pei Ched Amud Aleph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu melameh v'yatzud v'tachti zahar, that they stood on the bottom of the mountain, melameh chakafa alem har kigigis, that Hashem put the mountain over their head like a barrel. If you accept Torah, great. And if not, Shamtek v'ratchem, there you will die. What do you mean, there you will die? Here. Oh, right here you'll die. What is Sham? So the classic answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, Sham Teh Kurastah. Bechol Makom in the asterisk in 24, Makom Shiyashvu. Anywhere in life, not just in Har Sinai. This is forever. Wherever you are, you need to have Torah. Without Torah, you're gone. Shekeina Torah Chayenu Biladei Lenu Chayim. Torah is our life. Without Torah, we don't have life. Kach Tivo Belto Shalam Yisrael. Therefore, at all times, you have to choose Torah, because we don't have a life without Torah mitzvot. The Ol Moshe, in a side footnote, has a very fascinating idea from the Avnei Nezer in 23. Let's go up one source. He says there are two different times we have in the sources of something you're not allowed to throw away. It says, Ein Zorkim, you don't throw. One is Kitvei Kodesh. It's called Sheamus, right? You don't throw away Sheamus. I know this very clearly, my friends. I have bags and bags of Sheamus from preparing the shearing. We're very good friends. I almost feel like, one day those Sheamus is going to be my pitchon pad shamayim. Hopefully they'll weigh down. A lot of the Averos, right? Sheamus, we don't throw away. We're very careful. As well as bread. We don't throw away bread, right? You have to double wrap it, give it to the birds. We're very careful not to throw away bread. Why don't we throw away the bread? So we know that something that gives you chiyus, something that gives you your life force, right? We sustain ourselves on bread, so that it's not appropriate that we just throw it away. So says the Avnei Nezer, Hainu Hach. That's why we don't throw away Kitzvei Kodesh as well. Shayudei halimu bahem yichia hadam chaye olam. It's through the Torah we also subsist. And therefore, we have to show Hakara Sato both to the bread, the gratitude, as well as to the Kitvei HaKodesh. Because it's not only that we live on bread, we also subsist on our spirituality in our lives. And Rav Rotberg in Moda Labina, Rav Rotberg Shlita says this so clearly. The Pasuk says in 25, Lo alalechem livado yichya adam. A person doesn't just live by bread alone. Ki al kol motzapi Hashem yichya adam. A person lives on that which comes from Hashem's mouth. Hachayim hamitim heim chayim hanovim mitorah umitzvot motzapi Hashem. Real life, true life comes from life that comes from a world of Torah and mitzvot. And that's the idea of a chart of a chayim. When the Chumash tells us a person needs something, you should choose life. Well, duh. Obviously, I want to live, right? I look both ways before I cross the street. I don't eat anything that's unhealthy for me. Of course I want to live. What is the Torah telling me? It's telling me something much deeper. You know what real life is? It's life that I have to choose. It's spiritual life. It's what's a life that's based on choice? They're the life of Torah and mitzvot. And he goes one step further. And he says that there are 248 parts of our body, 248 positive mitzvot. Each one of our body is nourished from that mitzvah that we do with that part of the body. So when we talk about choosing life, every time I do a mitzvah, I'm not only nourishing my spiritual self, I'm nourishing my physical body down here as well. That Torah doesn't just impact my soul. Torah impacts me very much in this world. And that's what Torah is about. Torah is about v'chai b'hem ani Hashem. We have to live in order ani Hashem, to have dveikus b'Hashem. that Drisha Bilvad, just looking toward Hashem to try to connect, Afikvar Yotzer Chibur V'Kesher Mekadosh Baruch Hu, connects us to Hashem. This is what life is about. Looking for that spirituality, looking for that relationship, looking to invest, as we've spoken about. And that's what Amunah is about. It's about trying to solidify this aspect of connection with Hashem. And the Siftei Chaim in Source 28 brings a mashal of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, where he speaks about that you can have many different officers of the king. Some officers live in, you know, faraway lands that are miles away from the king. Some are the guards to the gate of the king. These people may never ever see the king. And then you move further into the royal palace and further into the room. We need to be somebody who wants to be that officer who's going to be close to Hashem. Our lives down here, our chiyus, our life force down here, is to live a life of kirvas Hashem. Vani kirvas Hashem li tov, David Mel said. And for me, closeness to Hashem is good. That's the goodness of this world. Yitachein, the end of 28, shoskim b'Torah mitzvos. It can be that a person, very possible, says Siftei Chaim, that you can be involved in Torah mitzvos. Aval im einat ha'racha nechona kima Torah mitzvos. If you don't have the proper approach to Torah mitzvos, einani yodim echlid karev l'melech, then we're not thinking about coming close to Hashem. And then this is what our tefillah is about. L'man lo nigal arik v'lo neled ba'ala. We shouldn't be working for naught. There are so many, you know, mices of Tamidim who are davening, a really long davening, where the Rosh Hashiva or the Mashkiach will come over them and tap them on the shoulder and say, don't forget Hashem. And you can be so involved in davening in itself, but where is God in this whole picture? Bechlal avodas Hashem l'archivat atzlenu atarachal l'chol miskeret avodas Hashem agashmi v'aruchni v'rak aidei shenireh koch yoteinu b'torah. The only way that our physical and spiritual lives can be impacted and can be lived is when we see our chiyus, our life force in Torah. V'nechapes b'chol pirtei atar v'mitzos darkei dveikus el Hashem. And our goal should be, whatever we do, to think about Hashem, to come closer to Hashem. Nitkarev alav tzad achar tzad, to be able to come closer step by step. Rav Wolbe brings this down in Alishur, it's brought down in English in Rav Wolbe and Chumash in 29. The Torah is referring here not to physical living, but rather to spiritual living, the chai b'hem. The performance of mitzvot enables us to live more spiritually elevated lives. And that's why you see the Gemara Makos says that one who accidentally kills another person is forced to flee to a city of refuge. He shall to run to one of these cities and he will live. The Gemara says, create from a situation whereby he can live. When a student is exiled to a city of refuge, his Rebbe has to be exiled with him as well. When the Torah refers to life, it's referring to a life in a spiritual sense. The Rambam expresses concepts succinctly according to above halacha, and he says to those who seek wisdom without Torah, it's as if they are dead. It's very possible for a person to amass great amounts of Torah knowledge, but still not live with the Torah. How can we attain the level of Torah that becomes part of our very life? The answer is as follows. Just as physical life cannot tolerate interruptions, a heart that stops beating for a matter of minutes can no longer be resuscitated, so too a Torah life does not tolerate interruption. We say in the Shema, and you shall speak in Torah when you sit in your house, when you travel, when you lie down, when you wake up. How can one be constantly involved in Torah? This can only be accomplished if he's thinking about Torah even when he's not actually learning it. Which practically speaking means that instead of letting our minds wander, we're driving in the car, we're waiting online, whatever we're doing, we can use the time productively, review something we learned, consider how we can do chesed, think about an upcoming yantif, contemplate the significance of Sfiras Omer. Torah isn't relegated solely to the time that a person spends in front of an open sefer. Torah is our very way of life. Now with this, my friends, so we understand that we're talking about v'chai b'hem, to live them. We're talking about a spiritual life in this world. We're talking about making our physical life focus our spirituality. And that, my friends, is one of the greatest challenges that we have. Meltzer Tosha Rebbe Zatzal in Avodat Avodah in 31. He says, Shatorah v'mitzvot shrichim liyo b'nei hadam ke'umnes shelo. This is the key. Our Torah mitzvot have to be like our profession. Just like a person learns a profession in order to make money, the profession becomes your whole life. Your day and night, you're thinking about, okay, how can I learn more? How can I cut a better deal? When do I need to make this meeting? Your whole life is surrounding your profession. And v'yeshlo, and when you're involved in your profession, you have so much patience. You'll sit with this person and you'll explain to them, you know, how to redo their house if you're an interior designer. Or if you're a speech therapist, you'll tell them over and over again how to do these exercises. You have a lot of patience and you have a lot of time. We say, the Gemara speaks about that one of the tefillos of the Moraim was, listen to this, Yiratzo milfanecha, may it be your will, Hashem, right before the bracket of 31. Shetehei taratcha amunateinu ba'olam hazeh, may the Torah be our livelihood, our profession in this world. And we say in Birkas HaShachar, Torah tehei amunasi, Torah should be my emuna, should be my life force, should be everything that I'm involved in. What this means is, we have to be connected to Torah mitzvot, just like a person is connected with patience and investment in that which they do for a living. And he notes in 32 that Klipat Golut America, one of the effects that we have coming into the Western culture, so to speak, is Lefatot et Adam, it tries to convince a person that they have to run after their livelihood at all costs, that this is the essential part of their lives. Shameless mama speak li tamek b'tarot tefillah. I don't have time for my davening. I don't have time for, Lord, I gotta do this, and I have to take care of that, I have to do this, and this is for my business, and I'm supporting a family, and they're learning Torah, my kids are in yeshiva, yeshiva division, oh my gosh. Stop. Where's your focus in Torah living? People are so like, you know, moving and davening so fast. I have to get this over with. I have to do this mitzvah so fast so I can get back to work. And he quotes here, we say in the beginning of davening, oh, listen to this, it's so gewaltig. We say after Birkas HaShachar, right before the Shema in the morning, we say the tefillah, Me'anu Mechayenu, who are we? What is our life? Peirush, which means, in the asterisk 33, Im ha'dam rotze le'damahu, if you want to know who and what you are, ha'inu ma'matzavo b'yadu, where you're holding in Yiddishkeit, yabid v'yitbonein ma'u chayuso, ma'anu, ma'anu, who are we? I'll tell you who we are, ma'chayenu. What gives you chiyos v'chay behem? What makes you alive? Do you get your chiyos? Do you get your life force from spirituality, from Torah, from tefillah? You wake up in the morning and you say, wow, another day to say brachos. Another day to be able to, you know, come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amazing, I can't wait. Or is your whole focus on avolim shoeim chiyotov, double up, swiggly, minyanim kashmim, some physical things, that all day you're thinking about business. What am I going to eat? What am I going to, you know, have a good night's sleep? So that's your chiyus, that's your life force. And he notes here, and I just want to mention this in 34. The pasuk ends, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, which is the midah of rachamim. And he says, well, B'nai Yisrael, keep Torah and mitzvot, with chiyus aleih, that this is our chiyus. The keim chayenu v'arach yameinu, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is filled with rachamim, and is Hashem is filled with tremendous amount of mercy. And then he said, I'm just quoting you here, Vaza Kodesh Baruch Hu in the asterisk in 34, Mevatel Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Kol Zeros Ros. And this has the ability to offset any negative decrees. When we have chiyus, when we have passion in our Torah mitzvot, which as we spoke about is really about the mindset, the focus of Dveikus, Dershuni V'chiyu, of searching out of Hashem, of connecting to Hashem, recognizing that this is what we live on, this is our life force, then this is what becomes our connection to Hashem and will elicit rachamim, compassion from above. There's the ability to offset negative Zeros, negative harsh decrees. My friends, this is something I think we all can relate to. Whatever it is that takes up the entirety of our being, we have to ask ourselves, where's our focus in life? Well, my friend, listen to your messages. We've done this in the past. I find it so relevant every time we do it, so I ask your indulgence as we look at it again. This tension between being a good Torah Jew and maintaining a professional life, and balancing the two worlds, inspired a former Talmud to write to Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal. I feel as if I'm leading double life, he wrote. What should I do? Rav Kuttner Zatzal replied with an inimitable insight and clarity. It's apparent from your question, he wrote, that you equate a secular career with a double life. I would never approve of Talmud of mine living a double life, but let me present to you the following analogy. If a person rents a house to use as a permanent residence, and then he goes ahead and he rents a room elsewhere in the same town, he's definitely living a double life. He has one house where he lives, another place where he visits. That's a double life. But should he rent a house that has more than one room, continuing in 36, would that be a double life? No, that is not a double life. It is a broad life. You can be a good Torah Jew and still have a secular career without leading a double life. You can have a house with many rooms. Says Rabbi Friend, I'd like to extend Rav Huttner's analogy just a bit. A person can have a house with many rooms, but treat them differently. One room he decorates lavishly with expensive furniture, carpets, window treatments, and so forth. The other room he leaves bare, no carpeting, no wallpaper, no fixtures, nothing but bare walls. Then he spends practically all his time in the decorated room, but hardly any time in the bare room. Is that leading a broad life or a double life? This, then, is a tremendously salient challenge of the Jew in the professional world. Is he spending all his time in one of the rooms, or is he giving equal time and effort to both rooms? If you're a successful professional, whether a good lawyer, a good accountant, a good dentist, a good businessman, or good at any other, you undoubtedly invest a lot of sweat and toil in your profession. You give it everything you've got, and you get a real charge out of it. It's surely exhilarating to come up with a clever strategy to save your client a bundle of money, to structure the deal, to see the diagnosis, to do the procedure with precision. It's only natural you should find that thrilling. But what about a 37 Divrei Anochi? Does it get at least an equal investment of time, energy, and effort? Far be me telling anyone not to enjoy his job and wrong to do such a thing. A person has to give it his all, everything important that he does. But that goes in the asterisks a thousandfold for his religious life, for his Jewishness, for his relationship with the Creator of the universe. It's not enough to go through the motions. Something has to make your life tick other than your job. And that's what it means in this pasuk, v'chai b'hem. The Chidushei Arim understands these words to mean a person has to draw his chiyus, his vitality, from the performance of the mitzvot. He can't just fulfill his obligations perfunctory. They have to become his very breath of life. And practically speaking, says Rabbi Fran, you have to find something that's going to excite you. People have to challenge them. For some, learning Daf Yomi even at superficial level is a challenge. But for some, you can go even deeper. It's not enough to get your thrills, your excitement, your exhilaration from your career in 39. You have to get at least as much from the Ivrei Enochi. Because if you don't, that Jewish room in your house will remain bare and unfurnished. How are we sure that we have that Jewish spark in our lives? We have to set goals for ourselves. To develop absorbing projects, whether in learning, or in chesed, or in any of our ruchnius. You have to become involved in projects so you don't fall into a spiritual rut. It could be in Bikur Cholim, Hachnasat Orchim, raising money for Hachnasat Kala, getting involved in Shiduchim. The list is endless, my friends. Rabosai, this is our challenge. V'chai b'hem in this world. Yes, the first levels, this world impacts the next world. But let's focus on this world for a few minutes. This world is about finding your life force. This world is about, this is your mechayenu. What is me'anu, mechayenu? Who are you? What's your life about? What gives you thrills? So just like every person likes to find a job that's going to give them that, you know, be able to wake up in the morning feeling and that thrill and that good feeling of accomplishment, we need to find that in our Torah mitzvot. And it could be through a mitzvah, it could be through a project, it could be through a chesed. And we all know, my friend, that if we leave our Torah and mitzvot room bare, that our kids see that we get excited over our profession, and the Torah and mitzvot is relegated to the side, is it any wonder that they're going to build similar houses? And their children will build similar houses. And before you know it, that bare room becomes smaller and smaller and barer, till you can't bear it anymore. And it starts with us. It starts with our passion. It starts with our enthusiasm. It starts with decorating the house that Shavuos is coming with Sfiras Omer. That you're living Yiddishkeit. I remember being in somebody's house that they people do different things. They build a Har Sinai every day out of different, you know, little kids. The different, you know, like an egg carton. They add a different egg carton until you have a whole Har Sinai. And every egg carton is a mitzvah they've done that day to add to coming closer to Har Sinai. I mean, sky's the limit. Passion, enthusiasm. The kids feel in the middle of the living room is an egg carton of mitzvahs building toward the Har Sinai. And the way to do this, my friends, part of the way to do this, similar to the first idea of Rav Eisenberger in being able to invest, is the Tashi Rabbi Zatzal in Source 40, where he says, Ki yadua de ikar chashivus ha-mitzvahi sh'adam yikaimei mitok rikshei alev ba'ava v'ritz v'ratzo, ve'ikar ha-siman la'kirim adam yikaim mitzvah ba'ava v'ratzo v'alev. How do I know this is really taking up my entirety? Watch this. Hu im gam lifnei ha-mitzvah ne'arot 40, choshev minyanei ha-mitzvah. And this is what it's about. Before I walk in to teach, I tried to think about what I'm going to teach. Before you walk into a deal, you're thinking about it. Do we think about the mitzvah before we do it? And I can't wait for the mitzvah to happen. I wait till when it's going to get dark so I can count tzvira. And I prepare for the mitzvah that I can do it in the most beautiful way possible. V'chein in the double bracket. Achar shekvar kiim ha-mitzvah dato aleha. Just like after I've taught, I think about, I could have done this differently, I like the way I did this. You process it in your head. Do we process the mitzvahs in our head? Do you think about it? How I can do it better next time? How I can take that passion of that mitzvah and carry it with me? We have to almost take that model of our lives in our business world, in our professional world, and carrying into Torah mitzvot that my mind is on it, I'm thinking about it, I'm processing it. Just like when I drive to work, when I used to drive to work before the Zoom days, all right, I would think about, am I going to do it this way, am I going to do it that way? Think about a mitzvah, am I going to do it this way, am I going to do it that way? Use the time, take those minutes beforehand. And that's why we learned that Gevaldik Rashi 41, we spoke about many years ago. Pasuk says, Vayachu Vayasu B'nei Yisrael Kasher Tziv Hashem Moshe. Perakid Beis Pasuk Kavchet and Shmo by Korban Pesa. And the children of Israel walked and they did like Hashem said. That even the walking they get reward for because the preparation themselves, Ahachana, Vayayekev Asher Tishmo, the footsteps, the preparation, the Hachana 42, that's part of the mitzvah. That is Ushmartem, to always guard the mitzvah. And when it says over and over again, Shamor, to guard, it's like Vaviv Shamarta Davar in the Dadim 42, to anticipate. That's how we have to look at Torah mitzvahs, the anticipation. Now, my friends, we can now bring level number 2 full circle. If level number 1 was V'chai Behem in this world, the healing balloon, the way it impacts in the next world, on level number 2, it's a little bit different, and that's the following. It says, from Mordechai Druk Zatzal in 44, Ketuv B'Chazal, he brings the question in 43, and then says, Ketuv B'Chazal, Shetom Chaya Torah, those who are supporters of Torah, those who write out the checks for Torah, the businessmen, Yisku L'Kabel Scharim Lomdei Torah, they are going to get rewarded like those who sit and learn Torah, V'yu Yachad Imam B'Gan Eden. And they will be with them in Gan Eden. The fact that you supported the Torah, you suffered a ruler relationship, you get Olam Haba. No worries. The Yadua Masha Amru Gdoa Le Olam, listen closely, my friends. Shomnam Olam Haba, Yeshlam Latom Chaya Torah. For sure they're going to get Olam Haba. Ava Ma'im Olam Hazna Shalahem. But I'm more worried about this world for them. Olam hazeh im lo tamu afam. Olam haba, I'm not worried about. I'm worried about where are they in this world. Are they really living this world? Are they really experiencing this world? One who's never really learned. Okay, you're supporting somebody, Olam haba, I'm not worried. But if you haven't really learned, you're missing out on what this world is about. This is what Chazal mean when they would give the bracha, when they would part, rabbis would part with each other, they would say, your world you should see in your lifetime. And to Olam Haba Tiske L'Europa Olam Haza, you can see your Olam Haba here. And that's what the Mishnah means. We now are saying before learning Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba. All of Israel have a portion Olam Haba. Lo Katuv Ye'el Lem Chelek. It doesn't say they will have a portion. Ela Yesh Lem Chelek. They have a portion. Kvar Achshav Eneni Ma'anad Olam Haba. In this world we can enjoy Olam Haba. My friend, it's not a contradiction. When Chazal say, V'chai b'hem, you should live in this world, and Rashi said, it refers to Olam Haba, it's one in the same. It's about how do you experience Olam Haba in this world. It's not just that you have to think about where will I be in the next world. Yesh lem chelek al olam haba, right here and now. We have to live a life where my olam haba, where my relationship with Hashem is found in olam haba. That's what v'chai b'hem means. That v'chai b'hem, that feeling of nani mifiba shchina, that I feel that kirvas Hashem, tershuni v'chil, searching out Hashem, that closeness has to be here and now in the world I live in. As Lav Decha Be'emer, Rav Dov Yafed 46 brings down from Yitzchak V'loshin, Shekasher Adam Mekayim Mitzvah Lozo Bovad Shemitzvah Nosech Bov Chiyos. When a person does a mitzvah, not only will that surround Chiyos, a life force to the person, El Shuchai B'Tocha Mitzvah, you are living in this mitzvah, V'hainu, the bracket, double underline, Shekasher Adam Mekayim Mitzvah U'mamshich El Atzmo Kedusha. When you do a mitzvah, you draw holiness upon you. You're surrounded by, you're encased with the holiness of the mitzvah. And you're surrounded with the air of Gan Eden. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav. When I say that, I know that I have the kedusha. The kedusha el yona chofefet alav v'sovevet oto. That upper kedusha surrounds you. That's what Chazal mean, that you should live by this. And Rashi says in Olam Haba, the goal is not, first level is I live here for the next world. The second level is I live the next world already here. That my Olam Haba, when it's connected to Hashem, when I'm surrounded by the Avira de Gan Eden, that's the goal. That my Olam Haba, my mitzvos, should be an Olam Haba quality to them. And finally, my friends, the third level, which we'll just make mention of, is Rav Schwab Zatzal, Rav Shimon Schwab Bayam Beit HaShoiva. And he says, raises the question, and he says, aren't they opposites, this world, next world? 47, the asterisk, and then he says, Omnam Kush Yasu Mushereshe Bata'ot. The whole question is founded in a mistake. Bracket, Shekasher Nitvonen Yeresh, Ein Chaya Olam Hazeh, V'Chaya Olam Haba, Shnei Hafechim Be'etzem. We're assuming that this world and next world are polar opposites. El Shneim Olim B'Kaneh Achad. No, they're not opposites. V'Chaim Shal Dveikos Barer Yisparach. It's one world. V'Chol Yemot Adam Imi Nahega Piyator Melech Chobato Harei Naseh Mechubar L'Kodesh. Our goal is to live one continuous lifetime. The only difference between this world and next world is that this world I'm physical, the next world I'm not. But recognize that they're both about, as we've said, even when I do a mitzvah, it impacts my physical being. It's all about connection to Hashem. It's just a division of time. But Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are one continuous unit. What Chazal and Rashi are speaking about are two different aspects of the same thing. Relationship with Hashem. To benefit from Hashem forever. And he says, Rav Schwab says, was once by the Chavit Chaim, Mechorfi, the Chavit Chaim asked me, when you get a bracha, when you get an aliyah to the Torah, and it says, V'chayi olam natavit ochenu. And the Chayi Olam, the everlasting life, you should plant within you. What do you think about? So he said, I was so scared, I didn't answer. So the Chavit Chaim said, I'll tell you. The Chafetz Chaim then asked, where are you going to be 500 years from now? And he answered, Chafetz Chaim answered himself, you're going to be with Ribono Shel Olam. And in 5,000 years, will you be? You'll be with Ribono Shel Olam. And in 5 million years, where will you be? You'll be with Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what it is. V'chaye olam nata b'tochenu. Anachdu eilu po hayom nata chayim b'lisof. We here today are planting that eternity. The gvul haynu advekus ito yitbarach, connection to Hashem. U'memeila ein kan kosho shekavanat v'chay b'amel klos v'chayim b'tchila ba'am hadein. Therefore, it's not a contradiction. V'chay b'ham begins in this world. V'shapir darshina v'lo shemu b'ham. And that's what it means. You have to live here. And you have to live here with the fullness of living. V'gam v'chay b'ham l'olam haba. Shekarish baruch hu nata banu chaya olam. That our world is planted for the future world. But it's one long, continuous world. Level one, helium balloon. The way we are this world, that's the way, whether it be in the front row seat center or in the bleachers in the next world. Second idea, that world over there, the world of Gan Eden, can be found in our world. That's the goal. Me'anu, me'chayenu, that's the essence of who we are. And the third approach is the really one and the same world. V'chaye olam nata b'tochenu. We are planting every mitzvah we do. We're planting it here, but it's a continuous, one long world. Only difference is, will our physical being be present or not? That's the only difference. But our soul is around for millions and millions of years later, and we should be zocha to be able to be ne'aneh mitziv hashchina, to enjoy Hashem's presence, both b'hal me'adein in our world, as well as in the future world.